This lecture will serve as an introduction to the first part of the article, Accepting the Embrace of God, the Ancient Art of Lectio Divina. The article is available in complete form in the course documents section of this course and can also be downloaded from the valyermo.com website in the Lectio Divina portion of that site. The article is, for the purposes of this web page, divided into two parts. The first part, which we're considering now, dealing with the subject of private Lectio Divina, and the second, concerning group practices. By way of introduction, I'd like to say, first of all, that I'm not going to read the article out, but just highlight certain aspects of it. The introduction, the paragraph entitled The Process of Lectio Divina, describes a spiritual rhythm of which Lectio is itself composed, and in a certain sense, of which it is itself a miniature reflection, a rhythm encompassing the natural movement of our whole day, a movement between activity and receptivity, between active engagement and quiet listening. This is the nature of all human activity, and in Lectio we allow it to be a consecrating activity, an activity which, through the medium of the Holy Scriptures, becomes a means of our offering ourselves to God, and also of quietly resting in the presence of God and enjoying His presence. I should also mention that Lectio Divina has no other purpose than prayer, than the experience of God. It is not primarily an intellectual activity. It is not for the purpose of preparing a Bible study or preparing a homily. It is simply a means of letting the Scriptures be a way of allowing us to enjoy God. One of our priests refers to Lectio as an excuse for wasting time with God, using the Scriptures as that excuse. And I think that's a good definition. One should also mention at the beginning that although we divide up, and we will in this article, divide up the practice of Lectio Divina into four traditional steps or stages that are described both by Hugh of St. Victor and by Guigo II, whom we'll be looking at a little later, this division is fairly arbitrary. The process is much more interwoven and freewheeling. It's not up to us to move through a successive or rigid series of steps or stages. And although certainly reading and meditation, that is to say, listening for a word and then repeating it in the heart, is very much the beginning of the practice, what happens after that, namely whether it leads immediately into prayer, into an act of self-offering or conversation with God, or to contemplation, to rest in the presence of God, is not under our control. Contemplatio in particular is God's gift, and we should be able to receive it when it's offered and not ever believe that we have the right to either force it or that there is in fact any meditative technique or practice or contemplative exercise that will create contemplative prayer. Contemplation is God's gift. We can predispose ourselves to receive it and to enjoy it when it happens, but it cannot be artificially created. So when we speak of steps or stages, it's almost as if we're speaking more of the four primary colors of which the practice of Lectio is composed, all of which are present to varying degrees at different times as we practice this experience of resting in God's presence. Looking now at the four divisions or ways of describing this practice, and beginning first with the idea of Lectio or reading, the point is made here that it's a very different reading from what we do as moderns. It's much more a listening to the text, listening for any word or phrase that touches the heart, that seems to invite us via interest, and then once we hear it, taking it in and engaging in that act of repeating or recitation within the heart, which is meditatio in the Latin tradition. But in order for us to do that, for us to hear a word, we have to learn to be silent. There does need to be an inner quiet, and the practice of Lectio Divina ought to begin with a kind of a moment or a time of quieting. Today it's often popular to speak of centering, using any form of prayer that allows us to let go of words or images, and then to listen to the text, to read it, to look for anything that speaks to us, and then to take it in, repeating it within ourselves. Dropping down now to meditatio, we've noted before that this simply means, or originally meant, repeating or reciting the text within the heart, originally for the purpose of memorizing it, but also in this extended analogy sense, the analogy of the ruminant animal ruminating, as it were, digesting the word. It's as if we repeat it within our heart in order that it may yield up its savor, its flavor, its inner significance. And we'll see this kind of food language used again, especially by Guigo II. There's an icon a little bit further down in the Meditatio section, or rather two icons, intended to illustrate how the Blessed Virgin Mary is traditionally an icon of Lectio Divina in the Western Church, much more in the West than in the East. As you can see in these contrasting icons, the one on the right, which comes from the monastery of Stavro Nikita in Mount Athos, is the classical depiction in the Christian East of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Annunciation, and she is holding in her hand thread or work which she is weaving. She's engaged at the distaff. She's engaged in, effectively, housework, although there's a symbolic reference to the Protevangelium of James, the ancient legend about the young Blessed Virgin Mary having responsibility for weaving in the temple. But Mary is engaged in that manual labor in the Eastern churches, but in the West, as you see in this 15th century depiction, the angel Gabriel has appeared and Mary is at prayer with the scriptures. She is just turning away from the book. Mary is the icon of Lectio in the West, and indeed the Annunciation is seen as being the icon of Lectio Divina. The soul repeating on the scriptures, seeking to understand and to deepen in it, and then being visited by God, discovering the presence of God in the heart, opening the heart, as Mary does, to receive Christ. So, especially in the Western Church, where Mary is this icon of Lectio Divina, we also have an insight into what the practice is, using the example of the Annunciation. And in the scriptures themselves, much earlier than the iconic tradition, in St. Luke's Gospel, as the paragraph reminds us, Mary ponders in her heart what she heard of Christ from the shepherds in the one instance, and then later in the Gospel, in the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. Mary ponders, repeats, and treasures within her heart, and that's what we do with the scriptures in Lectio Divina. The next stage of oratio can be conversation, speaking to God, but it is also even more consecration, the offering up of ourselves to God, the exercise of the royal priesthood. We take the word or phrase that we're repeating, and as images and concepts and maybe even memories rise up within us, these are not distractions, these are ourselves. And using the word, we consecrate, we bless, we offer them back to God. So this oratio can be both dialogue with God, and it can also be a simple act of self-offering, offering the self that has been revealed in whatever has risen up within the soul as we repeat this word or phrase within ourselves. And the fourth aspect or stage, contemplatio, here understood in the principal sense of quiet, maybe imageless rest, but simply receiving from God, resting in the presence of the one who loves us. It can be said that this is the thing that everyone who has loved another and been loved by them knows, because there are always moments in relationship with another person whom we love and by whom we are loved. There are always moments in which words are not necessary. We can simply rest in quiet joy in that presence of the other. And that's what contemplatio traditionally means. In Lectio Divina, we allow ourselves to do this with God. So I'd invite you now to read the article against this background, and then we'll continue with a glance at several group practices and some traditional texts from both the ancient and the modern tradition concerning the practice of Lectio Divina.